Around Dodge City and in the territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers. And that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke.
I've met a lot of strange people in my travels away from San Francisco. Little did I realize that right here in my own hotel, I would meet the most unusual of them all.
Buck Benny, the two-fisted, quick-triggered marksman who shoots from the hip and never misses.
Well, hello again. This is Buck Benny speaking. Welcome to another episode of Gunsmoke and Have Gun Will Travel. Today, I thought I'd do something a little different. I was just going online to see what folks kind of thought of the different seasons of Gunsmoke. And I found this review that I really liked, and so I thought I would read this to you today. It's from somebody called Da Dunker. He's got a great name, Da Dunker. Well, Da Dunker says that Gunsmoke is the greatest TV Western of all time is hard to dispute. It may be the greatest TV show of all time. Think of what your favorite show might have been like after 20 years on the air, and then compare it to Gunsmoke, which was probably as good as anything on TV for its entire 20-year run. Not too many shows were so long that their runs can be divided into eras, but Gunsmoke has three of them. The first is the half-hour black and white era, 1955 to 1961. This is the most praised era of the show, and the era of its greatest popularity. It was the number one show on TV for the last of those 4 years. Critics praise the tight scripting of those days, and James Arness has said that he prefers John Meston's little morality plays to the later hour episodes, which some critics have called bloated. I like the half hours because they show the program in its formative years when the cast was young and the right age for their characters. I also like you can get four of them onto a cassette. So this shows how long ago this was written rather than two, he says. But these shows are basically about incidents rather than stories. They lack character and story development. The second era is the hour-long black and white era. This is my favorite, firstly because it's the earliest one I remember from the time I watched it with my father, and secondly because it's the best. With the extra hour to work with and a new group of writers to do the work, a lot of the writers stayed the same, but anyway, the series matured. The supporting cast became stars. Nearly every famous episode featuring Chester, Festus, Doc, or Kitty comes from this period. It also is the era when the second lead was introduced. The first and best was Burt Reynolds as Quint Asper, whose entire run is in this era. The writers also increased the scope of the show by focusing on guest characters with the regulars as supporting players. Unfortunately, the general public don't share my enthusiasm for this era, or they found something better to do on Saturday nights. Gunsmoke fell from number 1 to number 36 in an era where there were only three networks, and actually got briefly canceled until William Paley saved it. But the old Saturday night spot was taken by Mannix, so the show was moved to Tuesday, where it was expected to die a natural death. I think it was actually moved to Monday. That's me talking. Anyway, where it was supposed to die a natural death among shows intended for younger viewers. In the greatest upset in TV ratings history, the show was discovered by a new generation and rebounded to number 2 in the ratings, earning it another 8 years on the air, by which time the Western craze it had started was long over and its rivals, even Bonanza, were long off the air. By this time, color had taken over and it didn't do the show much good. Magazine reporters used to say black and white for drama, color for excitement. Gunsmoke was about drama. Gunsmoke used an outdoor set for daytime Dodge City scenes. That disappeared in favor of an indoor set about 1960. In black and white, the indoor set sufficed. In color, it looked garish and stagey. Color had the same effect on the actors, who were now too old for their roles. Real Western Marshals served for a few months at a time. And by the way, U.S. Marshals were never town marshals. It became increasingly ridiculous to see Matt Dillon still gunning down the young whippersnappers after a decade or more. Miss Kitty went from a pretty young thing to a middle-aged painted lady. Doc became increasingly enfeebled as Milburn Stone's health declined. Somehow the color film brought out the wrinkles more than black and white. There were compensations. Each season began with a movie-caliber two-part shot on location in some national park. The overall script quality remained high as the cadre of writers continued to expand. They even got an outdoor set to use again in the later years. Although it didn't look much like Dodge City that we'd come to know. The TV movies, well, the first one was terrible, the second one was pretty good, and the third one stunk. I didn't bother with them after that, he says. So I thought that's a pretty good review of all of Gunsmoke. And I would agree with him with the eras. I, of course, put the radio era as first, the hour-long black and white second, the half-hour black and whites third, and then the color seasons at the tail end. Though those color seasons are still pretty decent. It's just nice that we can break it down into all these different eras. And it's nice to see that someone out there kind of agreed with my thinking on this. So anyway, I hope you enjoy today's episode of Gunsmoke and Have Gun Will Travel as well. And we'll see you next week.
Gunsmoke, brought to you by L&M Filters. This is it. L&M is best, stands out from all the rest. Around Dodge City and in the territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke. Gunsmoke, starring William Conrad. The transcribed story of the violence that moved west with young America. And the story of a man who moved with it.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal. The first man they look for and the last they want to meet. It's a chancy job, and it makes a man watchful. And a little lonely.
Miss Bell?
Yes?
I'm Jim Buck. I'm driving the stage from here on into Dodge.
Oh. What happened to the other driver?
I always spell him here. He told me to look out for you.
Oh, that's kind of him. And kind of you, too.
You're awful young to be traveling alone.
I'm 17.
Well, now I take it back.
Are we about ready to leave?
As soon as I get the other passenger away from that bar over there.
They told me I'd be alone on the rest of the trip.
Well, miss, I don't know this fella. Says his name's Bassett. But if he's drunk, I promise you he ain't riding.
How do you expect anybody to ride sober if you're driving, Jim?
Marshal Dillon, what are you doing in Pawnee?
Oh, I had some business up this way, but I'd sure like to get back to Dodge. You got any room?
Sure have. Oh, this here's Marshal Dillon, Miss Bell.
How do you do, Marshal?
Miss Bell?
It's Linda.
All right, Linda. When are you leaving, Jim?
Soon as I round up that Bassett fella.
Well, get him, whoever he is, huh? And drive easy, will you, Jim? I wore out a horse getting this far, and I sure need some sleep.
I'm glad you're riding with us, Marshal. I don't like the looks of that fella Bassett. But you two climb in now. We'll pull out of here in 5 minutes.
Nice day. The lawman's asleep. It's you I'm talking to, Missy. It's a nice day, ain't it?
Yes.
That's better. As long as we're riding the Dodge together, we better get acquainted. My name's Joe Bassett.
How do you do?
Well, there's no cause to be bashful, Missy. I ain't gonna hurt you. You staying in Dodge?
Yes.
Well, now, that's just fine.
Please, I'm rather tired.
Oh, you are. You have a dancing girl or something? Ah, you're too young for that, ain't you? Ain't you?
Please.
Hey. Hey, I know. I got a bottle here. Here. Have a drink.
No.
Say, mister.
What do you want?
You're making it awful hard for me to sleep.
Oh, I am, huh?
And I'm pretty tired.
Well, that's too bad.
Now, it's going to be a long ride, so why don't you just sit there and look out the window, huh?
Because I'd rather look at this pretty little girl here. Now, come on, honey, have a drink.
No, I can't.
Hey, Jim!
Huh?
Jim, pull up, will you?
What for?
You heard me. Pull up.
Okay, Marshal. Whoa.
What do you think you're doing?
What's your trouble, Marshal?
There's no trouble. Your friend Bassett here wants to ride up on the box with you.
Huh?
He wants somebody to talk to, Jim.
Are you crazy?
He's waiting for you, Bassett.
I'm staying where I am.
You're holding us up. Now you get moving.
All right. And you like you broke my arm.
You should have left your gun where it was. All right, now get outside. Hurry it up.
I'm going. But you're going to wish you'd never seen me.
I'm wishing that already.
Give me a hand, driver. My arm's all numb.
Where to kick? I'm sorry for the delay, Linda.
Marshal.
Oh, it was worth it, though. Maybe now we can both get a little sleep, huh?
Well, I can certainly use it.
What'd you say?
I said I can certainly use some.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, I feel as though I hadn't slept since I left St. Louis.
Oh? You've come a long way, huh?
Oh, it'll be worth it once I reach Dodge.
How's that so?
I'm meeting my fiancé there, Marshal.
Oh, well, maybe I know him.
Oh, he hasn't been there long. His name's Lou Paxson.
Lou Paxson, huh? Yeah, well, what does he do?
Well, I don't really know. I met him in St. Louis. It was only for a few days.
Uh-huh. I see.
Marshal?
What?
If you promise to keep it a secret, I'll tell you something.
Okay, I promise.
I ran away from home. My parents think I'm too young to get married.
Oh? Well, how old are you, Linda?
17. Do you think that's too young?
Well, I don't know, Linda. I guess that depends on what you're like and what this fella Paxson's like.
Oh, he's a wonderful man. He's so strong and so handsome.
Uh-huh.
You'll see when you meet him.
Yeah, I'm sure it will.
Marshal?
Yeah.
Are there a lot of men in Dodge like that man, Bassett?
Oh, why do you ask, Linda?
Well, he frightens me. He's not going to forget what you did to him just now.
Oh, well, you let me worry about Bassett, huh?
I don't like him.
Well, I don't like him either, but why don't we forget about him and try to get a little sleep, huh?
This is it, L&M Filters. It stands out from all the rest. Miracle tip, much more flavor.
L&M's got everything.
It's the best.
Yes, L&M's got everything. Superior filtration, superior taste.
Superior filtration because of L&M's superior filter. White, all white, pure white. The purest tip that ever touched your lips.
Superior taste, because of L&M Superior Tobaccos. Tasty, full of flavor, and light, and mild.
No doubt about it, L&M is America's best filter tip cigarette.
This is it, L&M Filters.
L&M's got everything.
It's the best.
Well, here we are, Linda.
I don't see Lou.
Ah, we'll find him, all right. You want me to give you a hand?
Yes, thank you.
Okay. There we go.
Come home, Mr. Dillon.
Ah, hello, Chester. Oh, Linda, this is Chester Proudfoot.
How do you do, Chester?
How do you do, Miss...
It's Linda Bell, Chester, but she likes it simple.
Oh, you're good.
There he is, Marshal, there he is.
Huh?
Lou?
Linda!
Hey, how come she knows him?
Why, do you?
Yes, sir, Lou.
Oh, Linda.
Oh, Lou, I made it, and I never thought I would.
Oh, I knew you would.
No, it might have been bad, too, except for Marshal Dillon here.
Well, you're Marshal Dillon.
Yeah, that's right.
Lou, it was that man right over there. He was trying to make me drink with him and everything.
Which man?
He's coming this way.
Him.
Marshal? Where?
His name's Bassett, Lou. He was annoying
Don't
me.
Don't you worry about him, Linda. So this is who the little girl was coming to see.
She's my fiancée.
Well, I'll be darned. I mean, she didn't say she was coming here to get married.
Well, it's true.
Sure.
What do you want, Bassett?
You got my gun in your belt. You aim to steal it?
You aim to sell it?
What do you mean by that?
You look like a gunman to me. Where are you from?
Wichita. Now, what are you going to do about that?
Here, catch it.
You didn't have to throw it at me.
Well, I wanted to see how you handled it. You move pretty fast when you're sober.
What are you prodding me for, Marshal?
You aim to stay here long?
No. Not long.
Good. And while you are here, I'm going to be watching you.
That won't bother me.
Well, Marshal, I got to thank you for taking care of Linda.
Yeah, sure.
Now, I don't know who that Bassett fella is, but he shouldn't have been bothering her.
No, that's right.
Well... Come on, Linda, we'll get your stuff. They got a room for you over to the Dodge House.
All right, Lou. Marshal, I hope I'll see you again. You too, Chester.
Yes, thanks, Linda. We'll see you.
So long, Linda.
Bye.
Come on, Linda.
My, that Paxson acts kind of funny, don't he?
He's trying to hide something, Chester.
He is.
Yeah, he and Bassett didn't handle that very well.
What do you mean?
They know each other.
You think so?
Yeah, it was pretty clear. But they don't want anybody to know it.
Well, why?
What do you know about Lou Paxson, Chester?
Nothing. I just seen him around.
Uh-huh. Any idea what his game is?
No, sir. I don't. None at all.
Well, maybe we'll find out now. I expect he's just been waiting for Bassett to get here.
Sit down.
Oh, thank you.
You know, you've been gone most 2 weeks.
You know something? It seems a lot longer than that to me.
I've also heard what happened on the stage.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. Linda told me.
Linda? How come you know her?
She's sitting right over there.
What?
Well, it kind of surprised me, too. The Paxson brought her in this afternoon and made Sam give her a job. Sam didn't like the idea much. She's only 17, Matt.
Yeah, I know, Kitty. What's this Paxson up to, anyway?
Well, I don't know, and I don't care. But you gotta get that girl out of here. This is a terrible place for her.
That's not my affair, Kitty.
Since you're the only one who can do it, it is your affair.
Now, Kitty, I can't interfere in a thing like this.
Why? Because nobody's stolen anything or killed anybody? Because there's a law against it? Is that why?
No, that isn't why, but...
But nothing. You know what can happen to that little girl. Look at her, Matt. She's scared half to death right now. You wait till midnight. Wait till it starts to get really rough in here. You know what some of these horn-handed, drunken, wild men are likely to do? You can't let it happen, Matt. You gotta get her out of here, and if you're any kind of a man at all, you'll do it right now. Well...
Well, Kitty, I... All right, ask her to come over here, huh?
Sometimes I get a feeling that maybe you're not all bad, Matt Dillon. Yeah. I'll bring it back. Here we are.
Ah, hello, Linda.
Kitty said you wanted to see me, Marshal.
Yeah, that's right. Sit down, won't you?
All right.
You don't have to be scared of the Marshal, Linda.
Oh, I'm not really. But, well, tonight I feel scared of everybody.
Then why do you stay here, Linda?
Lou says I've got to.
Why?
He says it's to keep me out of the way.
Oh? Out of the way of what?
I don't know. But if I'm here, he knows where I am, and he can always come to find me. But I don't like it here, Marshal. I'm not used to men like these.
Linda, I want you to go back to your room, and I want you to stay there.
Oh, I can't, Marshal. Lou'd get angry.
You don't have to tell him about it.
But he'll find out.
He'll find out, all right, Linda. As soon as I explain things to Sam here, he'll find out from me.
Down the end of the hall, there goes that fella Bassett.
Yeah.
I didn't know he had a room here.
Well, that could be Paxson's room he came out of.
Number 12, ain't it? By golly, you're right, it is.
Now, listen here, I... Oh. Thought it was someone else.
Bassett's gone, Paxson.
What do you want, Marshal?
I want to talk to you.
Oh. What about?
Why did you pretend you didn't know Bassett at the stage this morning?
I don't know him.
Well, he just walked out of your room.
I mean, I didn't know him. I didn't know him this morning.
You're lying. Now, Bassett's a gunman, Paxson. What's your business with him?
I got no business with him, Marshal. We were talking, is all.
Uh-huh. About how much are you going to pay him?
I got nothing to do with him, I tell you.
All right. Now, I don't know who you're after, but this time I'm going to stop the trouble before it starts. Chester, When's the next stage leave?
Not till day after tomorrow, Mr. Dillon, but there's a Santa Fe out in the morning.
I'll be there to see that you're on it, Paxson.
No, I can't leave, Marshal, you've got no right to make me...
You're leaving, and you're leaving alone.
What?
A man who'll put an innocent 17-year-old girl to work in the Long Branch isn't going to keep her if I can stop it. I got her out of there, Paxson, and I told Sam she's not to come back.
Well, I got good reason for her being there.
Oh, and what are they?
Well, it's none of your business. Marshal, you're interfering in something. You got no right.
As far as Linda's concerned, maybe I am, but I'm doing it anyway. That you and Bassett are different. And I'm going to run him out of town tomorrow, too.
You're making a mistake, Dillon.
If I am, you can stop it.
What's that mean?
Start talking.
No.
Okay. Come on, Chester.
To you, to the thousands of smokers who are changing to L&M every day, to the millions who now smoke L&M, here is your assurance. L&M gives superior filtration because of its superior filter. Superior taste because of L&M's superior tobaccos. Yes, L&M tobaccos are tasty, full of flavor, and light, and mild. And L&M's superior filter is the purest tip that ever touched your lips. It's white, all white. Truly the miracle tip, because when it's added to L&M's superior tobacco, it actually tones up the taste, actually improves your enjoyment of this great cigarette. Yes, L&M's got everything. Superior taste, superior tobacco, superior filter. That's why it's America's best filter tip cigarette. Try L&M today.
Up, man.
Oh, come in, Doc. Come on in.
I said, you know, it's nearly midnight.
Well, now, when did I start going to bed at midnight?
Well, you should. A man needs to sleep.
Then what are you doing up?
I'm looking for somebody to argue with.
Well, I'm your man. Start arguing.
Yeah. Oh. What? Sounds like somebody beat us to it.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah, see? That came from right down the street. Down by the Alfraganza.
Yeah, it sounded like it. Over here, Chester. What happened, Chester?
Lou Paxson. They shot him. He went into the back room at the Alfraganza wearing a mask and carrying a gun in his hand, but they shot him before he could run off with any money. He didn't even try to shoot back.
Well, is he hurt bad, Chester?
I don't know, Doc. I didn't wait to see.
Well, I'll go see that he's taken up to my office.
Give him a hand, Chester. Yes, I'll come up there in a few minutes.
Well, where are you going?
Now, there's a man across the street I want to have a little talk with.
Where? Oh. Bassett.
Yeah, that's right.
Evening, Marshal.
What are you doing here, Bassett?
Watching.
Watching for what?
Not for anything. Just watching.
You working with Lou Paxson?
Why?
He just got shot.
Dead?
Why don't you go find out?
Ain't nothing to me, Marshal.
You know, Bassett, I was going to run you out of town tomorrow, but now I think I'll keep you around till I find out what this is all about.
I ain't done a thing.
And you're not going to, because I'm going to lock you up right now.
I never been in jail in my life, Marshal.
A lot of men haven't, even men like you. But you're going now.
No. No, I ain't.
You leave your gun alone.
Then get out of here and leave me alone.
There's been one shooting already. That's enough. Now, I'll take your gun, Bassett.
Not likely.
He missed you, Mr. Dillon. Thank goodness he missed you.
He was in too much of a hurry, Chester.
Is he dead?
He died standing.
I knew there'd be trouble. I just had to wait and see what happened.
Go get Linda and bring her up to docks, will you?
Yes, sir.
How is he, Doc?
He's not good, Matt. One bullet in the neck, another in the chest. I'm sorry, Paxson. There isn't much I can do for you.
No, I can't live this way. Not for long.
Paxson, Chester's gone for Linda. She'll be here directly.
That poor little girl.
How did you expect to hold up the Alafraganza like that? Was Bassett supposed to help you?
Him? No. He was just waiting for the money.
What?
I tell you, it don't matter. It's what he come here for. We robbed a stage up north. And I run off and I spent the money in St. Louis. And he followed me. He found me.
And no wonder you didn't want to tell me what it was all about.
He said he was going to hurt Linda if I didn't get the money, so I figured she'd be safer where there was a crowd around.
Bassett's dead, Paxson.
Is he? So am I. Just my...
He's gone, Matt.
Oh, that's probably Linda.
You better keep her out of here.
Yeah. Chester, wait in there, will you?
Yes, sir.
What are you going to tell her, Matt?
I'm going to tell her the truth, Doc. The whole story.
Oh, that would be awful hard on her, wouldn't it? Finding out what kind of a man Paxson was? No, you could spare her that.
Linda got off easy, Doc. Married to an outlaw, she'd have been in real trouble. But all this won't do her any good at all if I don't send her home a lot smarter than she left. And that's what I'm gonna do.
And now our star, William Conrad.
Thank you, George. You know what I like about L&M's is they're mild and mighty easy on the draw. When you get right down to it, no filter stacks up with L&M's pure white miracle tip for quality or effectiveness. Darn good smoke. See for yourself. L&M stands out from all the rest.
Gunsmoke, produced and directed by Norman McDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. Our story was specially written for Gunsmoke by John Meston, with music composed and conducted by Rex Corey.
Sound patterns by Tom Hanley and Bill James. Featured in the cast were Eleanor Tannen, Vic Perrin, Lawrence Dobkin, and Paul Dubois. Harley Bear is Chester, Howard McNear is Doc, and Georgia Ellis is Kitty. Put a smile in your smoking. Next time you buy cigarettes, stop. Remember, only Chesterfield is made the modern way, with Accuray. This amazing quality detective electronically checks and controls the making of your Chesterfield, giving a uniformity and smoking quality never possible before. For the first time, you get a perfect smoke column from end to end. From the first puff to the last puff, Chesterfield smokes smoother. Chesterfield smokes cooler. Chesterfield is best for you. Next time you buy cigarettes, stop. Remember, Chesterfield is made the modern way with Accuray.
Put a smile in your smoking, just give them a try. Light up a Chesterfield, they satisfy.
Remember, listen again next week for another transcribed story of the Western frontier. It's America growing west in the 1870s. It's Gunsmoke, brought to you by L&M Filters.
I know how important it is to have the organ delivered to your mission, Father. And even though there is a revolution, I'll get it through to you, somehow.
Have Gun, Will Travel. Starring Mr. John Daner as Paladin. San Francisco, 1875, the Carlton Hotel, headquarters of a man called Paladin.
Oh, hey, boy.
Oh, yes, sir.
Will you follow me upstairs, please?
Yes, sir.
I have a bag packed I want you to bring down. I have to hurry.
Oh, you ready to leave?
Just about.
Mr. Wong, very worried about this place you go.
New Mexico?
Yes, sir. She's a very strange place.
It's no more strange than a lot of places my business takes me. What's she worried about?
No, Mr. Paladin, Missy Wong worried that you will drink too much brandy and have big hangover. She say, please remember this.
Well, what has that got to do with it? Oh, Miss Wong.
Oh, hello, Mr. Paladin. Oh, your friends certainly make mess in this room last night.
I'm afraid they did, Miss Wong. I'm sorry. We have to pick up some things, then I'm on my way.
Oh, Mr. Paladin. Oh, you go that place?
Why this sudden concern about where I go? This happens to be an important business assignment.
Oh, but Mr. Paladin, that place, so strange. Whole river of brandy?
Whole river of brandy?
Yes.
The Rio Grande?
Oh, yes, sir.
And just where did you get your information?
Mr. Bagshaw.
Bagshaw, the old cowboy going rich who has the suite on the third floor?
Yes, sir. He sings song all about where you go. He teach song to Missy Wong.
Oh, he did?
Yes, sir.
What's the song?
Oh, Missy Wong not sing as well as Mr. Bagshaw, but it's something like this. Where the coffee grows on the white oak tree and the river flows with brandy. Then it's fare you well, my own true love, for I'm bound for the Rio Grande.
Oh, river flow with brandy, I eat.
Don't you believe it, hey boy. That river flows with nothing but yellow water. Miss Wong, I'm afraid that is not a factual account of the Rio Grande.
Oh, no, sir?
No. Grab that bag, will you, hey boy? We have to go. Whenever an assignment took me to the border area, I made it a point to look in on Father O'Toole, parish priest of the Lower Rio Grande. So with my, what turned out to be pretty exhausting business in Laredo finished, I headed for the little mission of St. Xavier. It was a visit I always anticipated with pleasure. Father Francis Michael Thomas O'Toole was one of my favorite people. I found him in the garden behind the church, down on his knees, working in a flower bed.
Paladin! Well, now, that's good to see you, lad.
Hello, Father.
Well, it's a long time it's been.
Ah, too long. Say, garden is beautiful, Father. You've done a lot of work.
Well, thank you, my son, but it's a constant fight we must wage against the forces of evil.
How's that?
Thrip.
Thrip?
And mealybug.
Oh, well, I have never faced up to a mealybug in a fight, Father. I'm afraid I can't be of much help.
Formidable foe, mealybug. Well, come now. We'll see to your horse and relay the pleasant message that we're to have a guest for dinner, and then perhaps you'd like a glass of port. Look here, I put up another hammock in the garden. I wonder, was I anticipating your visit?
Oh, it certainly looks inviting. I just may get in that hammock and never want to move
Father,
out of it.
Father O'Toole!
In the garden, Tono. You remember Tono?
Yeah, he's the Indian boy you raised here, of course.
Oh, he's a fine young man now. He just returned to St. Xavier. He's been in school in Santa Fe.
Father O'Toole, oh, excuse me.
Oh, Tono, we have a visitor. Mr. Paladin, you remember him?
Of course. How are you, sir?
Hello, Tono.
Father O'Toole, I have checked again with the freight office. There is no freight coming through.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Now, that is bad news.
Why, what's the trouble, Father?
Well, sinful it is, I suppose, but I did want to impress the bishop.
The bishop?
He's making a tour of the diocese and plans to visit St. Xavier's. We scrubbed and we polished and we planted and we shined and we tournament. Oh, I had counted on that organ.
Organ?
You see, Mr. Paladin, a very generous man made the church a gift of an organ. It was ordered from France and came by steamer to the Gulf of Mexico.
And there it sits at the dock. Well, that's my punishment for my haughty dreams of making a fine show. Why isn't the freight coming through, Tono?
Father, there is a revolution in progress between here and the Gulf of Mexico.
That serves me right for putting too much emphasis on the temporal things.
Oh, nonsense. If you've planned on that organ, I don't see why a revolution should interfere. Father, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll go after him.
Oh, no, but Paladin...
May I go with you, sir?
Well, if it's all right with Father O'Toole.
Paladin, you came here for a rest.
You just keep that hammock swinging, Father. I'll be back. Traveling to the Gulf on horseback, Tono and I were able to skirt the battlefield of the Revolution. However, on the return trip, we'd have to take the wagon road, which would lead us directly through the war zone. Still, I couldn't foresee any problem. Father O'Toole was well known, well loved, and I was sure that an explanation of our mission would grant us safe conduct. The whole business seemed very simple. That is, it did until we reached the port of Matamoros and ran into the typically Mexican official red tape.
Mr. Paladin.
Well, now, Tono, what did he say?
Now we take these papers to the customs warehouse.
And where's that?
Across the street there.
All right, let's go. How many papers have we signed by now? In duplicate, in triplicate, English and Spanish, translated upside down, sideways, and backwards?
Very, very many, but we should be near the end.
I hope so.
That's the fellow we talked to over there.
Yeah, all right, well, come on.
Buenos dias. Servidor de usted?
Yes, I want to take delivery on a crate addressed to St. Xavier Mission.
¿Tiene usted conocimiento de embarque?
What's he talking about?
He says, do we have bill of lading?
Oh, look, I've got that. And I've got that,
for
and that,
favor,
and I have...
Un momento. Señor, would you mind to step aside for a little minute? But... I have business to transact here. Business importante.
Well, I'm sorry, sir. I happen to be transacting some muy importante business here myself. Now, if you'll just hold it a little minute, I trust we won't be long. Now, please.
Señor, I'm afraid you don't understand. I'm in a hurry. Business importante. Gracias. You're very kind. Gracias. Now, perdone me.
Buenos dias.
How do you like that, Tono?
Well, I can see, sir, that the fuse of your temper is getting awfully short, but we might as well be patient a while longer.
Of course you're right, Tono. As a matter of fact, I guess it would be funny if I weren't so tired of
all
this.
Why don't I go to the livery and arrange for a wagon? Save time.
All right, we'll need a team. Good, strong horses.
I'll see you at the loading docks behind the warehouse.
Right.
Perdone me, senor. I believe it is your turn now.
Yeah. Gracias. Very much.
Now, Mrs. Ames, is that everything?
Yes, and it's a small order, but could you send it?
Of course.
I've been helping my daughter move. That's hard work, and with the nagging backache and muscular aches and pains I've had lately...
If it's backache that's making you miserable, better try Doane's Pills.
Good advice. That's Doane's Pills, an analgesic and mild diuretic to the kidneys. Nagging backache, also headache, dizziness, and muscular aches and pains... may come on with overexertion, emotional upsets, or everyday stress and strain. Doane's pain-relieving action is often the answer, and they also offer mild diuretic action through the kidneys. So if nagging backache is making you feel worn out, tired, and miserable, with restless, sleepless nights, don't wait. Try Doane's Pills, used successfully by millions for over 60 years. See if they don't bring you the same welcome relief. Get Doane's Pills today. To save money, buy Doane's Big Economy Size.
Oh, Mr. Paladin, I'm sorry I took so long.
That's all right, Tono. They're just bringing the crates on the docks now. Did you get the team?
Yes, yes. But you see, in this town, everything is a little difficult.
I've discovered that. Where's the wagon?
There, by the platform.
That one? With the oxen?
They'll get us there, Mr. Paladin.
Oh, sure. Sure they will. Well, we've managed to get some action. That's our crate on the platform now. Come on. Tono, those men over there, those cargadors...
Yes?
I've already paid them to help us load, so you'd better give the orders. My Spanish seems to lack authority.
Oh, sure.
Hey, Tono, look. That man again.
He's got his wagon to the platform.
Yeah, and he's using my cargo doors to load his crate for him. Hey, pardone me, senor.
Si?
Those are my cargo doors, mine.
Ah, si? Well, but maybe you would stand back there, senor, for just a little minute. Business, importante. You see, I'm in such a hurry.
Well, it happens that I'm in a bit of a hurry myself.
Bueno, we won't be long.
But those men have been hired to load my crate. They've already been paid.
Oh, senor, gracias. That's very kind. Now, if you'll just stand back, por favor. Cargadores, vámonos.
Cargadores, you load the crate you were paid to load, right? There.
Aquí? Aquí?
There.
Aquí?
There. Señor.
Sí?
What's your name?
I am called Pancho.
Well, Pancho, like I said to Tono, maybe if I weren't so tired, it'd be funny. But I am. And it isn't. So you just...
Certainly a lot of excitement around there for a while. Those poor cargadores didn't know what they were doing.
I'm a little ashamed of that, Tono. Pancho certainly isn't the first man I've hit, but I've usually had better cause.
Well, we can forget about it now. We have the organ, and Father O'Toole will be able to properly impress the bishop.
That's right. And speaking of Pancho, is he still traveling behind us?
No, he veered off to the right back a ways.
I wonder what he's hauling through the war zone here.
Look, Mr. Paladin. Soldiers.
Those are soldiers. Barefooted, armed with pitchforks.
These must be the Revoltosos, the peon army.
Well, I'll tell you, Tono. I'm for the underdog. I've just decided I'm on their side. Do you happen to know what they're fighting for?
No, and they have probably forgotten themselves.
Pasco!
Ah, that must be the leader coming over this way.
Yeah. Well, we'll just explain that we're on business for a St. Xavier mission and ask for safe conduct through the area.
Look, Mr. Paladin, we're completely surrounded.
Yeah. You know, Tono, those pitchforks don't look very military, but they certainly look effective.
I'm glad we have a good explanation for being here.
Señores.
Buenos dias.
You will step down?
Sure. Come on, Tono.
Yes.
You're gone?
Well, you let me explain.
You're gone.
All right. There. Now, if you will permit me to...
You are under arrest.
Arrest?
We are too clever for you, are we not?
We, the army of the people.
Oh, believe me, all I need is a chance to explain.
No need to explain. We have had war. You bring arms to the militia. The pigs are enemy.
Well, no. That's a mistake. We're on an errand for Father O'Toole. We're taking an organ to St. Xavier Mission.
The padre?
Yes.
San Javier?
That's right.
Organo?
Mm-hmm. Mm,
very nice. You mind we see organ for San Javier?
No.
Pedro, abra la caja.
Look, tell him to take it easy opening that crate. I don't want anything to happen to that organ.
General Perez, rifles.
He says rifles.
Rifles?
Rifles, Mr. Paladin.
Rifles?
My poor little army is grateful for them, senor. And it will be your honor to face them first in front of the firing squad.
And now, here are Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy.
Charlie, where have you been?
Well, it's a long story, Bergen. Remember, you said you wanted the car lubricated.
I said I wanted a Guardian maintenance lubrication. Like all Chevrolets, Pontiacs, Oldsmobiles, Buicks, Cadillacs, and Chevy and GMC trucks, our car deserves the best of service, and that means Guardian maintenance at our dealer service department.
Yes, well, I drove our car to our dealers without an accident.
Oh?
Most of the way.
Charlie, where's the car now?
It's on Main Street between 4th and 5th.
Is it closer to 4th or 5th?
It's all the way from 4th to 5th.
All right, young man, you're going to get it now.
I'm only kidding, Bergen. It's just a scratch fender. Our dealer's GM trained mechanics have already got it looking like new again. It's part of their quality appearance service. Shall I still meet you in the woodshed?
You drove the car without permission. It's the woodshed. And I'll see you there as soon as I phone the dealer.
Well, take your time. If you're not there in 10 minutes, I'll start without you.
Without ceremony, we were prodded with pitchforks to a dugout in the side of the hill. It had an iron-barred, padlocked door. By the time my eyes got accustomed to the dark, I had managed to figure out what had happened. The muy importante business of my fat friend Pancho was undoubtedly a shipment of arms to the militia. In the confusion at the docks after I slugged him, the cargadores had put his crate on our wagon and our crate on his. If the militia expected rifles, it was a sure thing they weren't too happy when Pancho showed up with a church organ.
Not very good food, Mr. Paladin, and not very much. We may starve to death before we reach the firing squad.
Look, Tono, we aren't giving up. Father O'Toole has got to impress the bishop.
You really think the militia has the organ?
That's the only answer. This is the darndest war. I've noticed every day about this time all activity seems to stop out there. Everything quiets down.
Of course, the siesta.
You mean even in the midst of a revolution, everybody stops after lunch to take a nap?
Oh, yes, it is the custom.
General Perez seems too disturbed for a siesta.
Yes, he has been pacing back and forth out there.
Yeah. Hey, hand me one of those tin plates, Tono. Yeah, that's right.
Why do you do that?
You'll see.
Piero, what is this? What does this mean?
General Perez,
si.
You're starving us to death.
You eat as well as my soldiers.
You're short of food?
See? Si.
Well, why haven't we faced the firing squad?
If you must know, we are also short of ammunition.
I suspected that. General, would you like to win this war?
Of course.
All right, I have an idea. There's a plan that may help you, if you let us out of here.
What nonsense is this?
Even without those guns you confiscated. That militia is well armed. You're never going to beat them with one crate of rifles, no ammunition, and a bunch of pitchforks.
I'm afraid that is true, senor. It has more to win a war than a just cause.
Let us throw in with you. Will you trust us?
Why should I?
Now, look, General. You can't afford to feed us. You can't afford to shoot us. You might just as well trust us. Believe me, you won't regret it, General.
What can you do?
We can go over into the enemy territory.
But I cannot give you arms.
I know. All we'll need are a couple of buckets.
Buckets?
Buckets of that adobe soil out there and some water.
Senor, the heat is too much for you.
No, no, no. I'm not loco, General. Just give us 2 hours over there. Then bring your men and attack.
My poor little army against all those guns, it will mean complete defeat.
I think you'll find it will mean complete surrender of the militia. Please trust me.
All right, senor. I have nothing to lose. You can try.
Now, let's see now. Did you get those rifles stacked by the tents?
Yes, yes. And those lying by the guards sleeping over there. These soldiers of the militia are sound sleepers.
Yeah, lucky for us. Well, I guess that means we've plugged the barrels of every rifle in the outfit with that adobe mud. Now, in this heat, that adobe will harden and expand. And by the time Perez attacks...
The guns of the militia will not perform with efficiency.
Even a pitchfork, Tono, is a worthy weapon against a gun that fires backwards.
Aha!
So I guess we've done our part for the people's army. Now let's look for St. Xavier's organ. It's got to be around here someplace.
Mr. Paladin, they're waking up.
Yeah. Quick, duck behind that little stone building over there. Come on.
Yes.
Here. Here. You know, maybe we better sit out the battle right here. We'll have to look for the organ after the attack.
I hope we can find it. But Mr. Paladin, I've been thinking.
What?
Do you know how to play an organ?
No.
I don't either. Brother Manuel doesn't. Brother Luis doesn't.
Well, what are you getting at?
Mr. Paladin, I can't think of anyone in the parish who knows how to play an organ.
Well, surely Father O'Toole thought of that. Hey. Hey, Tono, listen.
It's inside this building.
Yeah, there's a window down there. Come on. Careful. Careful.
Look, it's Pancho.
Hey. Hey, Pancho.
Oh, buenos dias, senor.
What's the idea?
Senor Pancho is the victim of unfortunate circumstance. Tomorrow is the day Pancho's to die. They shoot Pancho.
Sort of the way I had figured. But what's the organ doing in the cell with you?
Well, I made one last request that before I die, I be permitted to play this lovely organ, for which by a strange, unfortunate circumstance, I give my life. The request granted, with understanding that I don't play until after siesta.
Mr. Paladin, here comes General Perez.
Right on time, eh, Tono? Pancho, you play the organ very well.
Well, see, for many years I play organ for the mass at the Cathedral of Our Lady of Guadalupe.
You did. Pancho, I think maybe we could use you. How would you like to take a little trip?
No trip, senor. It is tomorrow I die.
Maybe not, Pancho.
The revoltosos are coming on strong, Mr. Paladin.
Pancho, listen. I figure to be on the winning team in this revolution. Maybe I can help you.
Mr. Paladin, the militia is mowing itself down.
Yes, Tono, I see. It's working just the way I hoped it would. They're being knocked down by their own guns.
Senor, the people's army is winning. Now Pancho will go free, no?
Only if you will transact big business with me.
Business importante.
Oh, muy importante, Pancho. You help us take the organ to Father O'Toole and play it for the bishop. How about that?
Si, Pancho will do it. Si. Viva la revolución.
Oh, you said it, Pancho. Viva la revolución.
Viva la revolución.
Viva la revolución.
Thirsty people everywhere prefer ice-cold Pepsi-Cola. And because it's light, it refreshes without filling.
Charlie, be sociable.
I am, Kay. Pepsi is a favorite of thirsty people from Maine to Hawaii, from Alaska to Florida.
Charlie.
It's perfect for parties or picnics, so serve Pepsi to your guests.
That's helpful, but...
This is the sociable part. Keep plenty of Pepsi ice-cold and ready. Remember, it goes fast because everybody likes Pepsi.
Singing still sounds more inviting. May I?
Be sociable, look smart, keep up to date with Pepsi. Drink light, refreshing Pepsi. Stay young and fair and debonair. Be sociable, have a Pepsi.
But singing doesn't say, pick up an extra carton of Pepsi today. Better yet, get a case.
You do that.
Have Gun, Will Travel. Created by Herb Meadow and Sam Roth, is produced and directed in Hollywood by Frank Paris and stars John Daner as Paladin, with Ben Wright as Hayboy and Virginia Gregg as Miss Wong. Tonight's story is being presented in two parts and was specially written for Have Gun, Will Travel by Ann Dowd. Featured in the cast were Don Diamond, Harry Bartell, Jack Edwards, and Bill Idelson. This is Hugh Douglas inviting you to join us again next week when CBS Radio presents Have Gun, Will Travel.